House will come to order. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 130. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 130 from Representative Klim, an act relating to juvenile detention.
Representative Klim, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 130 and ask for your aye vote. Members, this bill comes in response to some news that I got in regards to residential treatment centers that serve youth around the state. In particular, we're talking 3 centers. One is in the Teton country, one is in Coal country, and one is in around our university. And what's going on here is one of our departments here at the state is interpreting a federal rule called PREA. It's the Prison Rape Elimination Act. And they're interpreting that rule. This PREA rule is meant to Prison Rape Elimination Act is for detention centers and correction centers and things of that nature. And what's happening here is they're interpreting this rule to apply to these residential treatment centers. And here's the rule that they're actually going off of. This is what it says here. This is what they cite. The definition of a juvenile facility as described by PREA standards is any facility primarily used for the confinement of juveniles pursuant to the juvenile justice system or criminal justice system. Well, the fact of the matter is these RTCs, are you pointing to me, Mr. Speaker? The fact of the matter is these RTCs are not being used as detention centers. Therefore, the bill. This bill amends in 3 different spots. 3 statutes are tied, I think it's Title V, Title VII, and Title 14. And it just amends what a juvenile detention center is. And you'll see the new language. It says a juvenile detention facility does not include any residential treatment facility which is operated for the primary purpose of providing treatment to a child. And the key term there being treatment. These RTCs are not detention centers. They're not used for confinement. They're court-ordered there for treatment. And with that, I would yield to any questions. Thanks.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? We're voting on introduction of House Bill 130. A two-thirds majority vote is required for introduction. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Baldwin. Barlow. Barlow. Barlow will excuse. Berger. Blackburn. Blake. Burkhart. Byrd. Campbell. Kennedy. Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Dayton, excused, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gay, excused, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, 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 excused, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic. Kasparic excused. Kinner. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Lloyd excused. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Nicholas excused. Northrup. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff, Piperinen, Pennell, Reeder, Schwartz, Schwartz excused, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Wilson, Wilson excused, Winters, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Baldwin, Baldwin excused. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 50 aye, 10 excused.
House Bill 130 has passed the House. Passed introduction is assigned to Committee Number 1 Judiciary. Representative Throne. Madam Minority Floor Leader, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Brown. I would like to request that House Bill 118 be referred to education from labor, and I have the concurrence of the chairman.
Without objection, House Bill 118 is reassigned to education. The next bill for our
Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm even standing up. I need to move number two, House Bill 138, down. The bringer of that bill is in committee. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we could take House Bill 138 and move that down below the numbered eight, House Bill 131. So insert House Bill 138 after House Bill 131. Everyone okay? Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, you have a purple sheet, and that's what we're going from this afternoon. Pardon me. Purple. Okay, first page, number two bill, House Bill 138. Move it down to under number eight, House Bill 131, and insert 138. Bear with me. There'll probably be a few other changes, so. Chief Clerk, okay?
The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 6. The Chief Clerk will read the resolution.
House Joint Resolution Number 6 from Representative Edmonds, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution by specifying term limits for specified state elected offices.
Representative Edmonds, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Joint Resolution Number 6 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is the first of three constitutional amendments I propose we submit to the voters of Wyoming in the next general election. My constituents, and surely many of yours as well, are increasingly troubled by the continuing consolidation of autocratic power in the hands of our most entrenched and often unaccountable political incumbents and appointees. The bill before you is offered as one means of correction through term limits, as originally passed by a large margin of Wyoming's voters in 1992. This law has been incrementally eroded by the Wyoming Supreme Court, largely because it was passed as a statutory change rather than a constitutional change. This resolution would eliminate the court's objection. In present form, it would limit all future legislators and statewide elected officials, including the governor, to two consecutive terms in office before having to take some time off. Now, in getting signatures on the bill jacket yesterday, I heard various ideas for amendments, including that of removing legislators from the proposal entirely. The tendency of elected executives and their staffs to go stronger and more entrenched over time through patronage, appointments, and rulemaking seems to be the most alarming to this body. Thus, should this bill pass introduction, I will welcome any friendly amendments in committee, and I will gladly work with all comers who are willing to work towards strengthening its larger intent, which is simply to offer the people of Wyoming the opportunity of voting once again for term limits, should they see fit, for the purpose of preventing undue concentrations of power in their government offices.
Okay, is there anyone in opposition? Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. Took me a minute there. I say we all have a remedy for this. It's called Election Day. It's called getting registered to vote. If you don't like the way the person's doing what they need to do here in Cheyenne, you vote them out of office. Also, I'm a way better legislator than I was 9 years ago. You get better, and you don't become entrenched, you become a better legislator. New legislators, the people who have the power of new legislators are turning over and over and over, will be the lobbyists, because the lobbyists will know the drill. They'll know what the issues are. A new legislator will not. So please vote no.
Is there any further opposition? Any further opposition? Seeing none, back to you, Representative Edmonds, for 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Whip. As I said before, I'm willing to amend this to take legislators out. I see your point. But I'm also bringing this amendment or this resolution because of the overwhelming support that this had 24 years ago. And I think the people deserve to vote on it again. And so I'm willing to work with anyone with ideas to amend this and get it ready for the next general election. Thank you.
All right, we are voting on House Joint Resolution 6. The two-thirds vote is required. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake. Burkhart. Bird. Campbell. Kennedy. Clem. Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds. Edwards. Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, excused, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, no, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, aye. Lindholm, aye. Lockhart, no. Laux, nope. Madden, no. McKim, aye. Miller, aye. Moniz, no. Nicholas, no. Northrup,
no. Yes.
Northrup, aye. Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
no.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers, Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Baldwin, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Pelkey, aye to no. Winters, no, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Piperinen, aye to no. Further changes? The vote is closed. 14 aye, 45 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive a two-thirds vote, House Joint Resolution Number 6 is not introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 7. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution Number 7 from Representative Edmonds, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to authorize the Wyoming Legislature to review and void decisions entered by the Wyoming Supreme Court as specified.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Representative Edmonds, for 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move House Joint Resolution Number 7 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is the second of three constitutional amendments I propose we submit to the voters of Wyoming in the next general election. This would allow both houses of the legislature by two-thirds vote with the concurrence of the governor to overturn rulings by the Wyoming Supreme Court so long as they do so within 36 months. The rationale behind this is to restore the checks and balances between our branches of government that have arguably been disrupted by an increasingly activist judiciary. Many of the framers of our nation's Constitution wrote eloquently about their fears in this regard, and all of these have come to pass. Our highest courts seem increasingly willing to dictate expenditures, overturn electoral majorities, levy taxes, and even alter the laws of God and nature at a whim, regardless of the will of the people. Our state's chief executive can veto our legislature, and our legislature can override our chief executive's veto. But our state Supreme Court can override both of these branches, while neither branch can override our state Supreme Court. Clearly, this is an imbalance of power, and a check on the judiciary seems to be in order. This bill, too, requires some work. If introduced, I would move to amend it to apply only to civil, but not to criminal, decisions by the court. And I would welcome other friendly amendments toward the object of overturning only the most egregious and presumptuous rulings of the court, should they occur, as a check on undue concentrations of despotic power in the judicial branch.
Thank you. Any opposition? Representative Zwanitzer, 1 minute.
Thanks. Just a question, because I think our founders kind of had it right. We have a remedy now. It's called to make a new law. And so I guess my question would be, why would we have to go back a year later and overturn a Supreme Court decision with a two-thirds vote when we can come back with a majority decision and just rewrite the law and have it go through the process?
Further opposition, Speaker Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. On and against this proposal, as a businessman, I'm very uncomfortable with this. He says that he would be open to an amendment where it only applies to civil law. As a businessman, how would I ever know what the law is? As it stands now, courts render decisions. Those decisions are a known quantity, and business can be conducted on reliance on those decisions. How would you conduct business if you don't know whether that decision is going to affect your business on a consistent basis forward, or whether the legislature can change it? And the discussion was that courts do it on a whim. I would vehemently disagree that courts don't make these decisions on a whim. There are reasoned decisions. There are opinions that are printed. They can be studied. The court lays its open its reasoning and explains exactly why. If there's a whim involved, it would be the legislature functioning
time.
Much less.
Representative Edmund, 30 seconds.
Well, Mr. Speaker, if you've probably heard before, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Also, of course, we can pass a new law, but they can overturn a new law. So I would ask your favorable consideration to put this before the people. They do have a right to do this if they so choose.
Thank you for that. And Representative Blake, I apologize. I made a boo-boo. So, all right. No more discussion. The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem. Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund. Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay, excused, Greer,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey, no, Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik, Kinner,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm, Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Paxton,
no.
Pelkey,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 14 aye, 45 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive a two-thirds introductory vote, Joint Resolution Number 7 is not introduced. The next bill for our consideration is Joint Resolution Number 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution Number 8 from Representative Edmonds, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to remove the word inseparable from the description of Wyoming's involvement in the federal union.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Edmonds?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move House Joint Resolution Number 8 and ask your favorable consideration. Unlike the previous resolutions, it is much simpler and requires no amendments. Several of the legislators who signed this bill jacket referred to it as a cleanup bill. It would simply remove the inseparable from Article 1, Section 37 of the Wyoming Constitution, which would then read, "The state of Wyoming is a part of the federal union, and the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land." By what rationale should the word inseparable remain there? It is inconsistent with the sum of all previous legal authority recognizing the right of self-government in our collective history, which clearly and explicitly precludes the legitimacy or supremacy of any absolute earthly authority claiming itself permanent. Never mind that no earthly political union ever has or ever will be eternal. Our own Declaration of Independence of 1776 states that governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. Move forward in time to 1789, and the Constitution of the United States of America contains no statement or assertion of inseparability or any similar innovation. Move forward again to the 1890 Constitution of the State of Wyoming. Article 1, Section 1 states, "All power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority," ellipsis. "For the advancement of these ends, they have at all times an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they may think proper." The word inseparable in Wyoming's Constitution does not belong. It is inconsistent and contradictory.
Time. Any opposition, Representative Summers?
Mr. Majority Whip, thank you. I stand on and against this. This great nation of ours has stood firm for a very, very long time. This republic of ours, and the reason we've done it is because all states have been inseparable. We fought a great war on that very topic, lost hundreds of thousands of great lives, and we do not need to go down that road again.
Any further opposition, Representative Zwanitzer Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I can't be that eloquent. I just had a simple question. It's estimated that constitutional amendments are costing $72,000. To put on the ballot, and I just wanted some discussion, not that this isn't a great change, but is it worth $72,000 in this budget session to put it on the ballot this year?
Is there any further opposition? Representative Freeman.
I am an American citizen, which I take great deal of pride. I am a Wyomingite, which I equally take a great deal of pride. I don't think they're separable.
Further opposition? Any further opposition discussion? Seeing none, Representative Edmonds, 30 seconds.
It might be possible to get a volume discount if we get more constitutional resolutions. Now, my legislative aide stayed up late tonight, and she went through alphabetical order in the states, got through 34 state constitutions. Only 8 of them have a clause stating they're inseparable from the federal union. 3 of them specifically state that they may separate. I wish I could tell you what they were, but I guess we can't say states. And 23 have no separation clause at all. They're silent
Time.
On the matter.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blackburn. Blackburn?
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton. Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman. Gay excused. Greer.
No.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey. Harvey, aye. Hunt.
No.
Harvey? Harvey, no. Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
No.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 20 aye, 39 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive two-thirds introductory vote, House Joint Resolution number 8 is not introduced. And before we move on to the next bill, I'm told that we have a re-referral. Chairman Harvey.
Mr. Majority Whip, I would like to re-refer House Bill 118, Foster Care and Permanency Additional Requirements, from Labor, re-refer it to Education.
Without objection, the bill is re-referred to Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 140. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 140 from Representative Brown, an act relating to professions and occupations.
Speaker Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move House Bill 140 and urge your favorable consideration. These next two bills, this bill and the next one, are both modifications to the statutes to conform the statutes with modern practice. This bill simply takes the Board of Law Examiners and the fees that they generate and moves them all to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has become settled over time. The Supreme Court totally regulates the licensing and examination of attorneys and admission of them to law or the failure to admit them to law. And all this does is take the fees that are collected for taking the bar exam and the jurisdiction over the Board of Law Examiners and moves them out of the legislature where they don't properly belong and put them under the sole jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. And I would urge your favorable consideration.
Any opposition? Representative Chairman Dwanifer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. Just a question, and I've probably been on corporations too long, but if the Speaker could explain to me why this doesn't fall under the unlawful delegation of authority rules that we have, and if allowing the Supreme Court to set their own fees doesn't violate the unlawful delegation of authority rule, because perhaps they're independent, but I haven't dealt with this before, and I just wanted that explanation.
Any further objection? Further objection, Speaker Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. The answer to that question is that it's not an unlawful delegation of authority because it's already an unlawful delegation to have the legislative branch regulating the judicial branch. And what this does is move the entire process under the jurisdiction of the judicial branch. It's exclusive to the judicial branch, and so it puts it all in that branch of government.
The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay excused. Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. 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 Aye. Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz. Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
Having received 2/3 vote of the introductory vote, House Bill 140 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 141. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 141 from Representative Brown, an act relating to liens.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Speaker Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. This is also part of the cleanup of the statutes that sought to conform our statutes with modern practice. This has to do with attorneys' liens. And it's interesting, in the old days, an attorney was given a lien on his client's papers. And when we were doing everything horseback, having a lien on the papers just about locked a guy up without the papers. He couldn't do anything. And a written document was so sacrosanct that a lien on that document was all that was required. But with modern transmission, modern even copying machines, once we got copying machines, it started to fall apart. So this redoes the attorney's lien statutes and says that an attorney can have a lien on his client's money, on his client's cause of action, and on his client's other property. But the attorney must give notice, and that notice is very strict in the way that it's prescribed in the bill. And if proper notice is given and somebody tries to bypass the lien by making a payment to the client that's liened by the attorney, then that goes to the that's recoverable by the attorney. And the thing that I really like in here that we didn't have before is this extensive notice provision that requires that everybody in the world know that a lien is being claimed, and then if it's appropriate to contest it, anybody who's affected by it can contest it. So with that, I would urge your favorable consideration.
Is there any opposition? Any opposition? All right. Wait, Representative Jennings.
Really more of a question. Can an attorney sue for things that are owed to him?
Any further up there? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Majority Whip. Just a question. Is this applicable to other professions? Are there other professions that have this same opportunity? Thank you very much.
Any further opposition? Further opposition? All right, seeing none, Speaker Brown, 30 seconds.
Thank you. Number one, yes, an attorney can sue. However, this is a lien. You can sue for a car loan, too, but if you can't take a lien on the car, then it's an unsecured claim. And this makes it a secured claim, just like a mortgage on a house or a lien on a car. And as to the, I forgot the second point. Oh, it's a bit unique to attorneys because it's a unique situation. And thank you.
Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Allen. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem, Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay excused, Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, aye. Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kinner. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff. Pieperinen. Pennell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 39 aye, 20 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive a two-thirds majority vote, House Bill 141 is not introduced. Real quickly, before we move on to the next bill, I was going to take the opportunity to give a friendly reminder of talking during roll call. I think we've been doing a very good job of it, of not doing it. But if we can just keep it down during the roll call, because once again, small room, voices echo pretty easily, and it's hard for the chief clerk to be able to hear the roll call if there's mumbling and chattering going on. And it's simply in the interest of, if our chief clerk can't hear what's going on, it'd be she doesn't want to accidentally misrepresent somebody's vote. So just keep that in mind. Thank you very much. And moving on. Now to our next bill is House Bill 131. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 131 from Representative Lindholm, an act relating to sales tax.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Representative Lindholm, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move House Bill 131 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, I find myself in a strange situation after passing the Wyoming Food Freedom Act last year, and now here we're talking about food tax. It's different for me, but this is my exemption to the exemption bill. It allows for local control, allows for local communities who are facing hard times on revenues. For example, my home county of Crook is facing 14% down in revenue this year. Where do we replace those revenues, you might ask? Well, we're asking the same question, and it's a tough thing. What this bill would allow for, as you can see on page 2 towards the bottom, that they actually have to go forward to propose and have a proposition for this tax that either has 5% of your electors or 2/3 plus your county of your municipal governments before it can even be proposed to the voters. At that point, it would go to the voters. 50% or more could actually put this tax in place. And that's what we're looking for, is a local option for these municipalities and these counties that are hurting in this downturn, such as the state is. I'd stand for any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Any opposition, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd ask you that you consider resisting this for a budget year discussion topic. And the reason I do this is because This food tax thing is a subset of an interim topic I've been asked to pursue for the upcoming interim, and that involves an optional 6-penny sales tax, just like our optional 5-penny sales tax, but have it just applicable to cities. Or we could have a food tax and a 6-penny added together. I just think it's too big a topic to be discussing and have ready for the next in time to take over to cross over a week from now.
Is there any further opposition? Further opposition, seeing none. Representative Lindholm, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Majority Whip. It's a big topic, but I do believe it deserves some discussion, and I believe if you talk to your city councils and your mayors, they agree, so they'll agree to also that, you know, they're going to be hurting next year even more. And with this in place, they can move forward and possibly convince their own voters to help out and to bail in. And if they choose not to, then they've heard the will of the people. Thank you.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Gay, excused. Greer.
No.
Halverson. Harshman.
No.
Harvey. Harvey, no. Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas. Northrup.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Throne. Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Allen, aye to no. Bird, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 15 aye, 44 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive a two-thirds introduction, House Bill 131 is not introduced. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 138. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 138 from Representative Larson, an act relating to health care.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your preference? Representative Larson, Lloyd.
Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 138 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill is about the child health insurance program that's administered through the Department of Health for those children birth through 19 who are at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. We find ourselves currently out of compliance with the federal, with CMS, the Center for Medicaid Services, in the funding of this program. Traditionally, up till a few years ago, this was funded at a 60-40 split, meaning that the state provided 40% of the funding for this. This has since been changed to 85-15, meaning that 85% of those funds are federal funds, 15% of those are state funds. Along with that came a change requiring that we comply for people that are enlisted or that are enrolled in the CHIPS program to be covered by essential coverage, which include inpatient, outpatient, hospital services, physician service, laboratory and X-ray, and well baby and well child care, including appropriate immunizations. Probably the meat of this bill that this body needs to understand is previously, if the projections indicated the expenditures exceeded federal and state funds, we, by rule or regulation, could control the enrollment into the program. Under the guidelines of CMS, they're saying that we can't control enrollment. So the question back to the Department of Health was, have we come up against the how much of those funds we spent? And they said at the 60-40 split that we hadn't expended all of the funds for 4 years, and their estimates is that at the 85-15 split that there will be plenty of funds there to cover the CHIPS program.
Anybody wish to speak in opposition? Anybody wish to speak in opposition? Seeing none, the chief clerk will please call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay, excused. Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey,
aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
No.
Q. Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
Having received two-thirds introductory vote, House Bill 138 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 145. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 145 from Representative Burkhart, an act relating to the administration of government.
You've heard the introduction of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Burkhart?
Thank you.
There you go. Carry on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 145 and ask for your favorable consideration. At the current time, Wyoming has a considerable amount of uncollected obligations, which it is unable to recover through its normal means. There's a handout in your box to indicate the size of the issue. If you want some money in tough times, this is a place to get it because it's money already owed the state, which is not being paid. This includes unpaid workers' compensation, unpaid sales tax, and the like. This is not a new tax or anything like that. It's merely collecting the obligations currently owed the state. This does not involve private debt. It is commercial. Currently, there's somewhere accumulated between $73 and $84 million. And just in fiscal year 15, there was $30 million in lost workers' comp payments that weren't collected, and $27 million in lost sales tax. Current recovery is poor because individual agencies do their own thing, and this consolidates recovery into the State Auditor's Office, where it actually was 20 to 25 years ago. The process is self-funded, and it has been successful in other states. The bill provides recovery coordination, and it's compatible with the Wolf system. Through this process, companies become more responsible for their own debt and can actually follow them and pay them as needed. It provides incentives, payment schedules, and that sort of thing. It follows businesses so they don't reorganize and avoid the debt. It provides judicial safeguards and confidentiality of those who owe the obligations.
Any opposition to the bill? Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. Basically a question. I didn't look at the fiscal note, but it looks like quite an undertaking. Would it require the auditor to have to add more employees to her department?
For the opposition, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have some reservations about this. If we're filing liens on property, I just wonder what it does to the business climate, especially when our economy is hurting and struggling. And then if we see the government come down on people for these unpaid obligations, I just wonder if it sends a wrong signal at the wrong time.
Any further opposition, Representative Pinnell?
This is just more of a question. I was curious. I see the bill in this particular bill it looks like it receives funding from the general fund of $1,156,000 and a little more. Is that to follow through on this, or is this something that was already there? Thank you.
Any further opposition? Seeing none, Representative Burkhart, 30 seconds.
The money to fund this comes out of the recovered obligations. Companies purposely don't pay this and pocket what they should pay in sales tax. They're giving themselves a 6% raise and that. So I ask for your aye vote.
Question being called. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey, no. Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey. Petrov. Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 40 aye, 19 no, 1 excused.
By the absolute noest of margins, the bill is introduced and referred to. House Bill 145 is introduced and is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Next bill for consideration is House Bill 153. Reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 153 from Representative Esquivel. An act relating to sales and use tax.
You've heard the introduction of the bill, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move House Bill 153 and ask for your favorable vote. It's a different way of looking at collecting sales tax on vehicles other than ones from vendors or dealerships. The way we do it now is basically you, if you buy a vehicle from another person, you come in and you sign the affidavit. And when we were getting ready to hear the state of the state, I was out in the hallway talking to some of the judges, asked them about this law. Does it kind of encourage people to perjure themselves? And his reply was, it's never a good idea to perjure yourself. But basically what the affidavit says is, I declare under penalty of perjury that I have examined this receipt to the best of my knowledge. The information contained herein is correct and complete. And I think in these dire times, we should try to be capturing all the revenue possible. So especially next week when we're talking about local government funding, this might be one of those areas where we should be looking at collecting the tax that's due. So if I say I paid $20 for this car, I'm going to pay $20 tax on $20. If I say I bought this house for $20,000, the assessor is going to come out and assess that property, and I'm going to pay whatever the fair market value on that property is. What we do here is they'll look at the blue book and look at the retail. If there's any reason to for the taxpayer to want to appeal that process, there are ways that they can appeal that process. If it's something like a vehicle, maybe they're restoring, it doesn't have an engine in it, of course that's going to have a lower retail value than what the blue book says.
Any opposition? Representative Clint, for 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I just have a question here. On page number 3 down here, starting at line number 15, it says, if the published retail price exceeds the amount shown in the bill of the sale, the taxpayer may attempt to establish to the satisfaction of the county treasurer that the price declared on the bill of sale is true and correct, indication of the fair market value of the vehicle at the time of sale. So basically how I read that is if you get a bill of sale, it says I bought a car for $2,000, yet the retail price is $4,500, and it satisfies the county treasurer, then it looks like you're paying tax on $2,000 instead of $4,500, which would mean a loss in revenue. So I caution the body to adopt this bill. Thank you.
Caution them to adopt it.
Further opposition, Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I just struggle with the language that the last presenter used. The taxpayer may attempt to establish and satisfy the county treasurer that the price declared on the bill of sale is true. Well, the bill of sale is signed and it's witnessed, and I don't like the implication that I'm lying to him to begin with. And it just makes me cranky. I think that we ought to maybe deep six this thing.
Any further opposition? Further opposition? Seeing none. 30 seconds, Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Whip. Well, like I said, I'm looking for ways that the state can start retaining revenue that is duly owed to the state. And I use the example with the House is how we do it now. It's a philosophical vote, I guess you're going to have to make. And next week when we're all saying we're underwater and we're looking at ways to collect revenue, the Wyoming taxpayers have an obligation as well to pay tax on goods and services that they receive. So, thank you.
No further discussion. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton. Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay excused. Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Harvey, no. Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No. No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Piperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Stubson. No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dan. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Pelkey. No to aye. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 7 aye, 52 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive two-thirds introductory vote, House Bill 153 is not introduced. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 157. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 157 from Representative Crone, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
You've heard the introduction of the bill. What is your preference, Representative Crone?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Whip. I move to introduce House Bill 157 and ask the body's favorable consideration. And basically, members, this came to me from my local rodeo board, and the issue is really related to small and medium-sized rodeos. Obviously, there's a rodeo here that's much bigger that we've all probably attended, but this deals directly with the small to medium-sized one. They have a difficult time having other vendors in the community sell rodeo tickets for them because they have to set up a separate system dealing particularly with those rodeo tickets and those sales. So, and I know that the way that it's drafted right now would relate to all rodeos, but I would certainly take into account an exception for the major rodeo that we have here. But basically, the premise would be, if you eliminate the sales tax on these rodeo tickets, it would be a small amount that would not be received by the state, but you would have more folks staying in towns, going to rodeos, spending the night, spending their money in the community. So, although in the short term it may appear to be a loss of revenue, a small amount of revenue, it could have a large effect in terms of generating more tourism and more money moving forward. So I would urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Any opposition? Representative Laux for 1 minute.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make it way shorter than that. But anyway, carving out exemptions and sales taxes is not a good thing. Let's let them pay the 5%. Thank you.
Further opposition, Chairman Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have in my hand here 3915105. And this happens to be the list of excise tax exemptions, and it's 11 and a half pages, and it's quite heavy to carry up here. But if you want to come back to my desk and take a look at it, some of these are legitimate. Some of them are probably those that came about in a budget session. I wouldn't doubt it a bit. But I have a serious doubt that these rodeo enthusiasts in the good sponsor's hometown even know there is a sales tax on it. And they're happy to watch the show, and they're happy to pay their fair share of the cost of running Wyoming when they're here.
There any further opposition? Further opposition? Seeing none, Representative Crone, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Majority Floor Whip. I would just say that we really have to focus on what's working for Wyoming in terms of the economy, and that, of course, is tourism. And what better a source of tourism than who we are, the American West, and what better than that than rodeo? So please support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake. Burkhart. Byrd. Campbell. Kennedy. Clem. Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds. Edwards. Eklund. Esquivel. Freeman. Gay excused. Greer. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Harvey no. Hunt. Yagi. Jennings. Kasparik. Kinner. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff. Pipirinen. Pinnell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. McKim. McKim. McKim? I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Pipirinen, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 13 aye, 46 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 157, having failed to receive two-thirds introductory vote, is not introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 133. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 133 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to the administration of government.
You've heard the introduction of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Petroff?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move House Bill 133 and ask for your favorable consideration for introduction. This bill originally started out not as a study group, but rather a bill similar to the EpiPen legislation from last year. We were trying to bring forward something for diabetes medication for children, but as we started talking to school nurses throughout the state, we learned that, first of all, that diabetes medication is a huge issue all across the state, but also that there are other conditions and medications that need to be addressed. So we scrapped the original idea and created the task force bill. I realized it was an issue with a little guy in our community that's just starting his little kindergarten career, and he requires life-sustaining medication several times a day. And on several occasions, he's required life-saving medication. School nurses in our district float, so they aren't always at a given school, and just heaven forbid that a little kiddo has a life-threatening situation, and there's just not an organized system for who gives him or her the medication, and who has permission to do it, who's covered by insurance and immunity. not trying to bring forward any specific solutions, just trying to bring forward the experts to work together to come up with some kind of guidance for school districts. Thank you.
Are there any opposition? Chairman Harvey, for 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Witt. I think that there are some accommodations already allowed under the law called 504 exemptions, and kids that are not developmentally disabled or delayed or have handicaps of any kind but have medical problems like are listed in this bill go on a 504 program with the school, and the school is responsible for making accommodations for those kind of illnesses and administration of medications. And so I number one, oppose having a task force. I think it's additional expense. Number two, if it needs to be studied further, I think that it should go to a standing committee to go along with their regular work.
Is there any further opposition? Is there any further opposition? Seeing none, Representative Petroff, 30 seconds. Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. So they do have to fill out 5014s. There's a very complicated system, but what there isn't is a lot of solutions for how medication can be distributed other than through the school nurse. And so it is a revenue-neutral bill. It is there's no appropriation attached, and I think the topic, bringing these experts together, is going to be something that's required for the committee to be able to come up with a complete product at the end of this, at the end of the next
time. Thank you. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds. Edmonds, Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
no.
Gay, excused, Greer,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Harvey, no, Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
Stubson, no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 29 aye, 30 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 133, having failed to receive two-thirds introductory vote, House Bill 133 is not introduced. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 136. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 136 from Representative Pelkey, an act relating to education.
You've heard the introduction of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Pelkey?
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I move House Bill 136 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is a bill that I've put forward in response to an incident in Albany County. A young woman who is on an individual education plan for autism is also a drum majorette in the high school band and is an academic all-star. Nonetheless, this young woman has an individual education plan that will extend beyond her 4 years of high school, and there'll be services that the IEP provides. And it required quite a fight in her case, and I've heard of a few others, for her to simply be able to walk with her graduating class. Admittedly, she has not completed the IEP, but she's part of a community, that graduating class, in this case of 2016. And I think the importance of honoring those children, even if those elements of the IEP have not been completed. I've checked around with several other states. It seems to be standard policy. I myself have a niece who suffers from cerebral palsy, who's been with her class since kindergarten, and of course she will be walking through graduation when that time comes for her. I'm merely asking to direct school boards to adopt a policy and remain consistent rather than make each of those children fight for the opportunity to graduate with their class.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any opposition? Any opposition to the bill? Seeing none, the chief local... my apologies, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Majority Whip. I guess I just have to question before we vote on this, and the question is this. So I need to make sure I get this right, because I deal with kids who are at IEPs all the time. So you're telling me they've completed 4 years of high school, they may have not gotten all of their credits, and yet we're going to allow them to walk with their class. Am I hearing that correctly, or maybe you can clarify this, because I just want to make sure that they're meeting those standards, that they're meeting the minimum credits they have to meet to walk. If it's an issue with the IEP plan that they're not meeting or something, I can see how we waive that. But I guess I just need a little bit of clarification here. Thanks.
Further opposition, Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. That wasn't right either, Whip. Anyway, all I was wanting to ask was how would this affect, and there's a pillar right in the way to where I can't see you, but how would this affect local control, because we're sending down a mandate to our school boards, and I just wanted your input on that as to having them create policies and stuff on all of this. Thank you.
Any further opposition? Okay. I'm seeing none. Representative Belkey, 30 seconds.
In response to Representative Clem's question, the intent of the bill is not to allow kids to walk on graduation who haven't fulfilled academic requirements. But there are IEPs that extend well beyond the four-year period, and this is a request to establish a policy to allow those kids, even if they're continuing through the IEP, to walk at graduation. In a sense, it is a mandate. It requires the districts to establish a policy, but it leaves it to those districts to establish that policy.
The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Greer.
No.
Halverson.
Harshman, aye.
Harvey, Harvey, aye. Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Helke,
aye.
Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 33 aye, 26 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 136, having failed to receive two-thirds introductory vote, House Bill 136 is not introduced. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 149. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 149 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to school finance.
You've heard the introduction of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Connolly, for 2 minutes?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Whip. Friends, I love this bill. I'll be right up front with you. It comes with a $20 million price tag. All right? We haven't seen too many of those. Your Select Committee on School Finance Recalibration is not bringing forth a bill. However, and that being because we want to keep the model the way that it exists right now. If we did bring forth a bill, it is quite likely that we would have seen a subsection in it regarding the subsidization of school lunches. In school year 14-15, our districts needed to skim off the top of their block grant almost $11 million for food programs. I can show you the dollar amount for each and every one of our districts. Simply, the federal subsidy in pricing isn't enough for those that are on free and reduced lunches. Every district understands that you can't educate kids who are hungry, and virtually every one of our districts, over 95%, participate in the free and reduced lunch program because of the financial need of families. So this bill sets up a reimbursement program for district based on the number of kids in the free and reduced program at 86 cents per meal, and it has a set of criteria, and this is the part that I love. That criteria obligates districts to get reimbursement need to have 10% of their foodstuffs locally sourced. So this helps our ag community. $20 million price tag, $2 million of it must go towards locally sourced foods. So I call it the Beets, Beans, and Beef program, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Any opposition? Representative Yagi, for 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor or Whip. In talking to superintendents and business managers around the state, there's a lot of nice things that they would like, but they said if we could just keep what we have in recalibration, there's so many programs that they would like to have, and they just said, no, let's get along with what we have. So I would encourage you to stick, you know, try to help education stay where we are without adding more to it. So I'm opposed to this. Thank you.
There any further opposition? Any further? Seeing none, Representative Connolly, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Weapon. The good representative is correct in terms of keeping at the model that we have right now. But districts aren't following the model. They are skimming off $11 million a year before they go and meet their legislative obligations for example, the number of teachers in K through 3, the ability to have electives, all of those kinds of things. They are not meeting those other obligations because they are needing to subsidize food. And I can give you more.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. Aye. Baldwin. No. Barlow. Aye. Berger. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Burkhart. Bird, aye. Campbell, no. Kennedy, no. Clem, no. Connolly,
aye.
Dayton, aye. Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund, no. Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay, excused, Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey, Harvey, no, Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings, Kasparik,
no.
Kinner,
no.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
no.
Pennell, Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Let's see. Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Aye. Sorry about that. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. Okay. Representative Hunt, you're an aye to an O. Okay. Aye, 39 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 149 has failed introduction. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you're working very hard. I wanted to just give you an update that we will cut off bill introduction at 3:45 p.m. We still have a second reading and third reading to do. And just for your information, I have a general file for next week of 26 bills for Monday, and we will start the budget explanation committee of the whole on Monday. So that's kind of my plan for right now, to try to get you out of here by 5 o'clock. Thank you.
Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 158. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 158 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
Representative Connolly, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 158 and ask for your favorable consideration for introductions. Folks, what this bill does is repeal one of the eligibility requirements for our high school graduates to be eligible for the Hathaway Scholarship. It only changes one of them. It's an important one. It changes the obligation that students be citizens. Passing this bill will be of long-term benefit to the entire state of Wyoming and not just the students themselves. Education is an investment that benefits all of society. Granting undocumented students eligibility to the Hathaway Scholarships gives them incentive for completing high school, attending college, seeking citizenship, and eventually contributing to the Wyoming economy. The students that this bill benefits are local residents. They are some of our best and brightest. They're educated in our high schools, and they're raised with our Wyoming values. Immigration status should never restrict one's academic future or ability to thrive. Currently, undocumented students who are Wyoming high school graduates are eligible for in-state tuition at UW. However, excluding students from the Hathaway Scholarship, our crown jewel, still imposes serious financial burdens on them. These students often already face various problems, fear of deportation, and the inability to secure gainful employment. This is one step in the right direction.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition? We're voting on introduction of House Bill 158. A two-thirds majority is required for introduction. The chief clerk will read the roll. Call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards. Eklund,
no.
Esquibel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay excused, Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey, no, Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kinner,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave. Swanitzer Dave?
No.
Mr. Speaker?
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 13 aye, 46 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 158 has failed introduction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 126. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 126 from Representative Larson, an act relating to public lands.
Representative Larson, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 126 for your consideration and ask for your favorable consideration. Oh, sorry about that. Whoa. This bill provides that the Office of State Lands and Investments will do a study and provide a report on how access to public lands has changed since 1976. The department will identify how access to public lands and the number of roads and trails have been blocked or restricted by federal agency or action. The bill specifies what the study will include, such as identifying and describing all public lands, compiling reasons for restricting access, which may include federal laws, regulations, orders, or federal judicial decisions. Topographical maps prior to 1976 will be compared to present-day GPS maps. Review of other sources like local newspapers and archives of state and federal agencies will be used. County commissions will be involved because they are closest to the areas. Services from research or consulting firms may be used. A report will be given to the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee by November 30, 2017. The committee will consider the report and develop legislation it deems appropriate for consideration by the legislature. There is an appropriation of $100,000 from the general fund to the Office of Lands, State Lands and Investments for this study.
Anyone wish to speak in opposition? Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr.
1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Despite my colleague being from the best county in the state, I don't think that we need this bill. All that information is already out there. We certainly don't need to spend $100,000 on it as well. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I've got a publication that has the phone number to the Forest Service and everything, and they'll tell you exactly what roads they closed from 1976 on. It's public record. You can find that out right now. We spent $75,000 to the Office of State Lands last year. Now we're going to spend another $100,000 in a similar study. This is a budget crunch, folks. On and against.
Representative Schwartz, there's about 30 minutes of the collective, or 30 seconds.
30 minutes?
Yeah, that'd be nice. 30 seconds of the collective, 2 minutes left.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the interest of brevity, I will just say I agree with the two previous speakers, and it is an unnecessary expenditure. Thank you.
Representative Larson, 30 seconds.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. If the dollar amount is the concern, then maybe we should amend that and get the Office of State Lands and Investments to do it anyway. Thank you.
We're voting on introduction of House Bill 126. A two-thirds majority vote required for introduction. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. No. Baldwin. No. Barlow. No. Berger. No. Blackburn. No. Blake. No. Burkhart. No. Byrd. No. Campbell. No. Kennedy. No. Clem. No. Connolly. No. Dayton. No. Edmonds. No. Edwards. No. Eklund. No. Esquivel. Freeman, Gay excused, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harshman, Harvey, Harvey no, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart. No. Laux. Laux. Aye. Madden. No. McKim. Aye. Miller. Aye. Moniz. No. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Paxton. No. Pelkey. No. Petroff. No. Piperinen. No. Pinnell. No. Reeder. No. Schwartz. No. Summers. No. Steinmetz. No. Stubson. No. Throne. Walters, no. Wilson, no. Winters, no. Swanitzer Dan, no. Swanitzer Dave, no. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 7 aye, 52 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 126 has failed introduction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 128 from Representative Larson, an act relating to livestock board.
Representative Larson, 2 minutes.
Thank you again, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 128 and ask for your aye vote. This bill will bring about a new procedure for investigating livestock criminal action, mainly theft of livestock or killing of livestock. The investigators of the Livestock Board, which consists of 4 full-time employees across the state, will be replaced by 23 sheriff departments. This will give better access to all areas of the state with quicker response times. The bill specifies that the Livestock Board will no longer employ law enforcement personnel. Brand inspectors will still be inspecting all livestock when needed, like the statutes describe, but they will not be considered law enforcement personnel. The bill creates the livestock investigation account for livestock training and expenses. These funds will be used by the 23 county sheriff departments to train 1 sheriff or deputy sheriff and also to train 1 law enforcement officer of the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs. The livestock investigation account will be funded by the Livestock Board from funds which were used in prior years by the livestock investigators to perform their duties. The sheriff or peace officer in the counties will be called upon by the Livestock Board or any livestock brand inspector to assist when needed on enforcing the livestock laws of the state. This bill will improve the response times, the investigation results by bringing enforcement and investigations closer to the livestock owners.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Chairman McKim. 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose this bill. As we talked about it in our committee before, and as we stated, we have a new director. We're trying to give that director a chance to actually look at what's going on. Also, the organization that is in charge of livestock voted on this and totally supported the livestock investigators.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I echo the good chairman's sentiment and also would say that this is not the solution to the long-term problem we've been having. We need to give him a chance. And also, my county sheriff doesn't want to enforce this as well, so thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip, 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ditto to the previous speaker.
Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? We're voting on the introduction of House Bill. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Larson, 30 seconds. I wondered what that look was about.
Hey, well, let's just see what happens, I guess. I hope you'll vote for my bill. Thanks.
We're voting on House Bill 128. A two-thirds majority is required for introduction. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn. Blake,
no.
Burkhart,
no.
Bird,
no.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
no.
Clem,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Dayton,
no.
Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
no.
Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
no.
Gay excused, Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey. Hunt, Yagi,
aye.
Jennings, Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Pinnell,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
no.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Harvey.
Excused.
Harvey excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 23 aye, 35 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 28 has failed introduction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 22. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 22 from Representative Hunt, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
Mr. Majority Whip, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And in light of new information, I have found that this bill is not really required, so I respectfully withdraw it.
House Bill 22 has been withdrawn. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 24. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 24 from the Travel Commission, an act relating to game and fish.
Chairman Petroff, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that House Bill 24 be moved to the bottom of the list.
The House Bill 24 has been moved to the bottom of the list. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Joint Resolution 10 and House Joint Resolution 11, sponsor Representative Gay, to the bottom of the list. He is not here.
Thank you. Those two bills are moved to the bottom of the list. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 120. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 120 from Representative Yagi, an act relating to the Capitol Building Rehabilitation Project.
Representative Yagi, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill 120. For a long time, we've known our revenues were down, and we did save some, but we also spent. Remind you, we're in a structural deficit with less money coming in than we spend. We need to fund the standard budget. I remind you of that. And this bill helps trim back some of our wants so we can take care of some of our real needs. This bill has three parts. First part is the bill puts $80 to $100 million of spending for the Hirschler renovation, the Hirschler tunnel, on hold. The money we don't use goes in the capital school construction or facilities fund, which we need right now. The bill takes care of all the repairs, and you can see what they are in the capital. The second thing is the bill says the legislative branch, we as a legislature, advisory board, and rehabilitation committee, will plan and fund the project, but then turns it over, the oversight, the repairs, to the executive branch, the State Building Commission, instead of the Rehabilitation and Restoration Advisory Board. As said in Article 2, Section 1 in our Constitution, talking about the distribution of powers in the three departments. It also states how the process of bidding is done according to the Constitution, Article 3, Section 31, with setting a maximum bid and awarding the bid to the lowest responsible bidder. And all contracts are approved by the governor and the treasurer. So at this time, when we're looking at the revenues that we have, this is one thing I really think we need to look at in all of our capital construction projects. Thank you.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? We're voting on introduction of House Bill 120. Two-thirds majority is required for introduction. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel. Esquivel, Freeman,
no.
Gay excused, Greer,
no.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey, Harvey no, Hunt,
aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
No.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey. Petrov, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stebson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Hunt, aye to no. Edmonds, no to aye. Conley, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Paxton, no to aye. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 26 aye, 33 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 120 has failed introduction. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 135. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 135 from Representative Jennings, an act relating to public benefits.
Representative Jennings, 2 minutes.
Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill 135 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill is in response to several other states, and I don't know exactly how many, I think it's like 23, who have conditioned the eligibility for public benefits in their states on the lawful presence in the United States. It has several exclusions. Any natural person 14 ages, years of age or older are the ones that are in question here, not younger. You would not be able to apply for benefits if you couldn't prove that you were legally here, that your legal status. On page 4, it has other exemptions for obtaining health care items and services that are necessary for emergency medical conditions, in-kind emergency disaster relief, public health assistance for immunizations, Romanet 4 program services or assistances such as soup kitchens, crisis counseling, intervention short-term shelters, things of that, and the penalty phase is just a question of perjury. With that, I'd stand for questions.
Does anyone wish to speak in opposition? Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to this bill, mostly because if half of our births in the state of Wyoming are Medicaid births, and you have a lot of women that are in fearful of seeking out any prenatal care benefits. So if you look at the health care aspect of it, on the top end of the spectrum are our NICU. So if you're wanting to promote things like premature babies, that's where we're spending the high amount of the dollars. And those NICU units are outside the state of Wyoming. Prenatal care benefits, they're on the low end of the spectrum. So I think we should, like we did in the past when we had the Healthy Babies Initiative, continue down that path and work at least the people that are going to stay in the state of Wyoming. Those babies are coming to the state of Wyoming one way or the other.
Anyone else? Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I just have a question. I was wondering what conditions do we put on these services now, if you know, and ultimately how would this play out? What are the unintended consequences, if you thought about? What would this cost us in the long run to do this?
Representative Jennings, 30 seconds.
In answer to the first question, my colleague has a good point, and I actually have already had an amendment drafted because that was an oversight, and in a number of the other states that has been addressed. So I actually would find that a favorable amendment to cover prenatal. And the second question was? The what? And the cost, I did not catch the entire question. I'm sorry.
Time. I'll rescue you. Time.
Thank you.
We're voting on introduction to House Bill 135. A two-thirds majority is required for introduction. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake. Burkhart. Bird. Campbell. Kennedy. Clem. Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds. Edwards. Eklund. Esquivel. Freeman. Gay excused. Greer. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Harvey no. Hunt. Yagi. Jennings. Kasparic. Kinner. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff. Heparinen. Pennell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 26 aye, 33 no, 1 excused.
The hour of 3:45 is... Oh, I'm sorry. House Bill 135 has failed introduction. The hour of 3:45 has come and gone. Madam Majority Floor Leader had set that as a limit. Next order of business is messages from the Senate.
We have one message from the Senate, message number 102. Mr. Speaker, upon reconsideration, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 35, Referendum, Circulator Payment, Ayes 14, No 16, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 6, Return of Victims' Property Held as Evidence, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Pennell. Those who voted no, Esquivel, Miller, Pelkey, and Winters. Signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Okay. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 40, Operation of Watercraft Under the Influence of Alcohol, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Esquivel, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pennell, and Winters. Two no votes, Representatives Baker and Halverson, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom to refer House Bill 58, Human Trafficking, Forfeiture of Property, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Esquivel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pennell, and Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 71, Governmental Claims-Circuit Court, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Esquivel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pennell, Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 11, Energy Producing States Coalition Extension respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 31, Uniform Securities Act. Respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, and Stepson. Nicholas voted no. Representative Harshman with his signature. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom it referred House Bill 85, Medical Education Funding, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Stepson, and Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 113, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Healthcare Facilities, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 42, Fuel Tax Revenue Restriction, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kinner, Laux, Madden, Reeder, and Wilson, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred House Bill 88, ETS Zero-Based Budget Sunset, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Jennings, Kinner, Laux, Madden, 2 no votes, Representative Wilson and Reeder, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 87, School Finance-Non-Resident Attendance, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yagi, Kinner, Northrop, Paxton, Pieperinen, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Northrop, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Joint Resolution 2, Kenny Sailors Dash Naismith Hall of Fame, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Clem, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Joint Resolution 4, Gray Wolves and Grizzly Bears, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Clem, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Petroff, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 35, Pharmacy Benefit Manager Regulation, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Dan Zwanzer, Representative Gay was excused, signed by Representative Dan Zwanzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 53, Special Districts Task Force, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanzer, Representative Gay was excused, signed by Representative Dan Zwanzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 49, Abandoned Vehicles-2, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Kennedy, Eklund, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Dave Swanitzer, signed by Dave Swanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom is referred House Bill 47, Refugee Resettlement Plan Accountability, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Kennedy, Edmonds, Kasparik, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, Walters. One no vote, Representative Byrd. Representative Gay was excused, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 82, Termination of Employment Wages-Time Limits, respectfully reports saying back with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Kasparik, Larson, Lockhart, Summers, and Walters. Representative Gay was excused, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 2. House Bill 2 having been read, or the reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 2 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 8 from Representative Madden, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 8 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 10. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 10 from Minerals, an act relating to the State Water Pollution Controlled Revolving Loan Account.
House Bill 10 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 16. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 16 from Representative Lindholm, an act relating to administration of government.
House Bill 16 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 28. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 28 from Minerals, an act relating to the Municipal Solid Waste Facilities Cease and Transfer Program.
There is an amendment. Representative Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 28 and ask for your favorable consideration. If you'll recall, on the Committee of the Whole, I had some questions regarding the division between grants and loans for this particular program. I really do like the work that the committee did, making sure we had 100% coverage under the grant and loan program. I also heard what the committee was telling me. It's the same things that I had heard when I served on the subcommittee, and that was there are some landfills out there where even coming up with or dealing with a 25% loan is troublesome. So what I was trying to do is reconcile that need with the fact of the statute itself and then also how we appropriate for this, because we will appropriate, and as we are in this current budget, 75% for the grant program in that account, and then 25% in the loan program, in the loan account, and they are separate and distinct accounts. And so what we were looking at doing was giving DEQ and then the SLIB board the discretion to look through, and maybe there are a few landfills that need a grant at that 90%, 95% range, and allow them to go ahead and do that. However, in the aggregate for each appropriation, the total amount given for grants cannot exceed 75%. So we're finding, I think it's the middle ground that will work very well, but it'll also keep the integrity of the appropriation and of the overall program, so that we're still looking at a 75-25% in the aggregate. So I'll stand for any questions on that.
Representative Summers, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I can cautiously support this amendment, but if these strapped communities keep rolling down the list of the cease and transfer, those landfills would become greater and greater remediation problems. And if they fail, those communities aren't going to pay for it. It'll be the state. So I can support this, but we need to evaluate this as it goes and understand we may have to do something else if this doesn't allow those very strapped communities to go ahead and do cease and transfer. Thank you.
Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd also like to lend my support to of this amendment. You know, as we worked on this during the interim, one of the things that we didn't want to make this a free pass for every solid waste district that was applying for loans. And so this helps us keep some side rails on that just a little bit to ensure that we are using the loan and the grant funds. I certainly respect the good representative from over the mountain from where I live's opinion, and we will, I believe, watch that. This is a fund that's going to be monitored and looked at closely over the next several years, and I think if we need to, we can adjust it, but this amendment is one that I think we should support.
Representative Lindholm, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd urge the body to resist this amendment. Based on a lot of the premises that were brought by the good House representative that sits next to me, specifically along the lines that you do currently see on the cease and transfer list, these small municipalities continue bumping down the bottom of the list. That's because it's unaffordable for them to be able to take on these type of projects with that amount of money. It's just not doable. And I really respect what the good committee put together on this, and I'd ask you to support the original bill and reject the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we questioned the director of the agency that oversees that, the projection was that there were possibly six or seven of the total on the priority list that may meet this requirement. So I don't think that's going to upset the balance of funds available to accomplish what we're trying to do for those communities that are really in need. And yet, like I say, maintain some fiscal responsibility sideboards on that to do it. So we do need to take care of those small small landfills that need this help, but yet we do need to maintain some fiscal responsibility.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I am very sensitive to the need of the small communities. That is why the cease and transfer program was established. Here is a simple fact, is in past years we have appropriated to the cease and transfer account. This year we took from the remediation account and shifted those funds over to the cease and transfer account. We have a dwindling amount of dollars that's available. And by continuing to keep the split that was intended from day one with this legislation of 75% grants, 25% loans, we're helping stretch those dollars out. This amendment still allows that flexibility for those very small landfills that really can't come up with the money to continue operations and also support the loan to be able to qualify for these grants. Over the years, we've made a lot of changes to this piece of legislation to accommodate the smaller landfills. If you recall, we have reduced or eliminated the accounting requirement, which was the first hurdle in the way. This body has worked very hard to accommodate those small landfills. And I do agree and think that it is good policy that we get those landfills with a cease and transfer station and we get them closed, because that does help the overall problem. Again, this is just some sideboards to help us make sure that we stay with that 75-25% split, which was the original intent, which is how we've appropriated, which is how the accounts are established, and helps us move forward. So I'd encourage you to vote aye for this amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment to House Bill 28. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment passes. House Bill 28, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 32, from Corporations, an act relating to insurance regulation.
House Bill 32, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 38, from Judiciary, an act relating to offenses against property.
House Bill 38, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 66. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 66, from Representative Blake, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 66, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 67. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 67, from Representative Edwards, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 67, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. We're now in that order of business on bills on third and final reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 13. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 13, from the Education Committee, an act relating to public records, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 13, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay excused. Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey. Harvey. Aye. Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings. Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller, Miller, Miller excused, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petrov. Petrov excused. Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused.
House Bill 13, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 13 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 55. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 55, from Labor, an act relating to the Nurse Licensure Compact.
House Bill 55, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen,
aye.
Baker,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay excused, Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Harvey aye, Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kinner,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller, excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff. Petroff, excused. Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused.
House Bill 55, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 55 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 56. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 56 from Labor, an act relating to the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Compact, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 56 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy. Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, excused, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, aye, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kinner, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller, excused, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff, excused, Pipirinen, Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters, Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 excused.
House Bill 56, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 56 has passed the House. Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
It's not often I get someone from three blocks away to come visit. But my grandson, and the last time I introduced you to him, I was holding him in my arms. He was probably about 6 weeks old then, I think. And he's standing back there waving in the fishbowl with my wife. That's Andre.
Chairman Horseman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Mr. Chairman, just quickly, just let members know, I'm sure you saw the budget bills delivered to your desk. So hopefully over the weekend then, the summary sheet will be finished up. We can get it to you electronically, or it'll be there first thing Monday morning. And then we'll try to start working committee of the whole on Monday and Tuesday as we go through the process. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You have the privilege. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to consider the following bills. House Bill 36, 46, 9, 59, 60, 63, 41, 62, and 14.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Representative Summers.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Summers. I would like to move House Bill 9 down to the bottom of the general file list. We're pending an amendment to be prepared. Thank you.
Thank you. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 36. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 36 from Representative McKim, an act relating to livestock dealers, extending the repeal date for provisions related to the registration of livestock dealers as specified and providing for an effective date.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McKim?
I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it does so with the recommendation that House Bill 36 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And I will cover the bill and the amendment.
So, Chairman McKim, do you want to do the amendment now, or do you want to go through the bill and the amendment at that time?
I would like to do the amendment now with the bill.
Okay, proceed.
Thank you. If you remember, this bill came about simply because it was discovered that after we'd had our interim committee meetings that a particular item in the statute was about to sunset, and that was dealing with livestock dealer registration, and it was brought to our attention, and so therefore we proceeded forth with the individual bill. The sunset date was to occur on July of 2016, and so we quickly called the LSO, told them we wanted to extend that date, and then decided afterwards that we just wanted to eliminate the date. No reason to keep extending it. So this is the way it reads right now. The bill itself, on page 1, and this is including what the amendment says with it, an act relating to livestock dealers eliminating the repeal date. So on page 1, line 1, we're changing the extending to eliminating. On page 1, on line 8 and 9, we're deleting the, or striking, and then the statute reference 1122.118, and then adding is amended to read. On page 2, line 4 and 5, we're striking out the paragraph, is repealed effective June 30th, 2016. And then down on page 2 also, on line 15 and 16, the paragraph is repealed effective June 30th, 2016. And then just by way of information, since we're not dealing with the second section, which is 118, we're just going to delete that on line 21 that says the section is repealed effective June, and that will take care of that part of it. That's not even part of the bill now. And then on the last page, so on page 3, we're changing the section from section 2 to section 3. Once again, this is just kind of a cleanup on this particular bill. Some people said, why do we need to do this? We have 70 to 80 dealers that are registered in the state of Wyoming. Now, this is only for those who are doing a business as a commerce. In other words, they
keep records. They buy the cattle, move them, keep records, make sure that the health is done on them. And this is just kind of a follow-up to make sure that that continues to go on. Any questions at this point?
Is there any discussion on Standing Committee Amendment 1? Any question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment 1 to House Bill 36 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 36 is adopted. We're back on the bill.
I do not believe there's any further explanation on the bill. If anyone has questions on the bill itself.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman McKim's motion that when the Committee of the Whole stand and rise and stand and something, that it will be approved.
Aye.
All those opposed? I need to find my... Thank you. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 46. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 46 from Appropriations, an act relating to workers' compensation, authorizing the state treasurer to determine the percentage of the workers' compensation account to be invested in common stock, providing for consultation with the director of the Department of Workforce Services and the State Loan and Investment Board, providing for the State Loan and Investment Board to develop an investment policy for the workers' compensation account, providing for reports to the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee, and providing for an effective date.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harshman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I do so with a recommendation that House Bill 46 do pass. And, Mr. Chairman, it has a standing committee amendment, and I'd like to just explain that quickly and dispatch with the amendment and then turn the explanation of the bill over to a member of the committee, Representative Nicholas. The standing committee basically cleans up redundant language. On page 5, it deletes "and the state loan." On the line 6, State Loan and Investment Board. And then on page 2, the standing committee also deletes on at the end of line 12 and on line 13, and the State Loan and Investment Board, because you can see where the redundant language is on line 14 and 15, where it also says State Loan and Investment Board. So as a representative from Cheyenne explains the bill, the state treasurer, in consultation with the director and consistent with the investment policy developed by the State Loan and Investment Board. So that's the amendment, really, is to clean up that language. And I'd stand for any questions on the standing committee amendment.
Question having been called, all those in favor of standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 46 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 46 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you. Folks, this is really a simple bill. What's happened in the past is if you go to that page 2, line 11, and the director was supposed to, that's the director of workforce services, was to have, in consultation with a qualified independent investment manager, basically direct the investment of the fund. In fact, that has never happened. There's never been an investment board advisor hired by the director of workforce services. He's just been walking over to the state treasurer's office and sitting down with one of his investment advisors there in the office and say, well, how much should we invest? Where should we invest it? And how much liquidity and all that kind of stuff do we need to maintain the fund, to pay out the benefits and collect the funds for the workers' compensation fund? And so when this was really just kind of a catch-up, we were going through the bill and we're going, wait a minute, this is not what happened. Let's correct the bill to what actually happens. And in addition to that, in order to add more clarity and transparency of what transpires, let's have the investment board create a policy so we know that such and such percentage of the investments will be available that are now currently that of that $1.7 billion into either long-term or short-term investments, and so you have the adequate amount of liquidity to pay all obligations and claims under the Workers' Compensation Act, but then maximize the investment after that in order to maximize the return on the overall value of the fund, which is $1.7 billion. So really it's quite simple. We're just saying not only should you not do this informally in the back door, but you ought to have a policy that everybody can see on how we invest it and where we invest it and make sure that we all know that the fund's going to be liquid, and if we need to reduce or lower the either what the employers pay out or what the employees receive, then we can do that on a general basis and have everyone understand what's going on. And so the Director of Workforce Services says, yeah, this is a great idea. And the State Treasurer says this is what we probably ought to do, and the board said, yeah, we really ought to do this. So that's really all this bill does, and so I'd move for your support and ask for your favorable consideration. Thanks.
Any discussion on the bill? Just a sec. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. Are we okay with putting 45%? That's a big number in common stock. A little scary. Do we need to reduce that number? Would that be something to be looked at? Just your thoughts. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Mr. Chair, thank you. The statute says up to 45%, and you have to realize that common stock language is they're not talking about equities and necessarily in the market. That's a general term so that they can invest in bonds, they can invest in other types of equity investment type things. It's not just that the stock market. And they're actually not invested that deep right now. My understanding from 2 years ago was it was around 35% in certain types of investment portfolios, but it's not common stock. But really, that's the reason why you want to have this in front of the investment board is because we don't really know what that policy is. And so they're going to establish that policy, and we can look at it and tell whether we like it or not. And so really that's kind of one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, yes, question, because so they do have the ability to invest up to 45% in equities such as stocks, correct, that are, in my opinion, very volatile for something like this.
Representative Nicholas.
I think we all would concur with that, and so the investment portfolio for this particular fund will be it's a huge amount of money, and so they spread it out to spread the risk, and it goes into all different types of the probably four types of investment portfolios, whether it's bonds, whether it's equities, whether it's private equities, or whether it's other types of emerging market, and private equities. And so that's what the board is supposed to do, and they'll have public hearings on it, and they'll establish what that policy is, and we can all comment on it. So.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think part of the real genesis of this bill, the 45%, that's comes from a constitutional amendment passed in 1998 and to allow the State Investment Board, which is the five electeds, to set the policy. So that's what that is. That's not what this bill is about. This is about really a holdover when maybe workers' comp had $100,000 in the account years and years ago, and you had the Director of Workforce Services directing the investments. Doesn't make any sense. So the things at several billion dollars now, workers' comp fund, we ought to have all our whole state investment board really looking at this fund, not an appointed director, which the statute says, in consultation with an investment advisor. I mean, that's the current language. And so I think, boy, this is a much-needed fix. So hope you'd support it. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Is there a question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Harshman's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 46 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 46 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 59.
House Bill 59 from Labor, an act relating to health care, amending the Child Health Insurance Program as specified, specifying that the Department of Health shall administer a state supplemental security income program, providing definitions, specifying when an application for medical assistance may be filed. I'm going to read the rest of it. Specifying that the Department of Health shall administer claims against the estate for medical assistance provided through Medicaid, repealing provisions related to the qualification of parents and guardians for a child health insurance program benefit, and providing for an effective date.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 59. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 59 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, and I will turn the explanation of the bill and the amendment over to Representative Larson.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Folks, this committee amendment, you heard me just a while ago, we got up and talked about the CHIPS program, and that bill that I brought is being deleted out of this bill that we have before you. So when we go through there, starting on page 1 on line 8 down through 10, then over the on page 2 and page 3 up into page 4, that deletes that language out of this bill, and in essence that's what that does.
Is there any discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Question having been called on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 59 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, folks, on what we're doing there is just correcting state statutes to comply with language that is current. We're adding health care financing in on page 3 there where it used to be Community and Family Health Division. That no longer exists. On 42101, which is the welfare section, we're clarifying which department is responsible for the language in there. And for most of that, it's Department of Family Services, unless otherwise specified. So if you go to 42103, you'll see that Department of Health and Department of Family Services is spelled out to take away a question on what those two departments used to be the same, and they split them. And so that's why we're cleaning that up. On 42.2.401, we're putting in definitions. Department means Department of Health. On page 6, at the top of the page, we're expanding the options for people to apply for Medicaid services. Used to just be by application. They'd go to a DFS office. Now they can do it by mail, by telephone, in person, and as the others that are outlined there. On 42.4.206, claims against the state, so when somebody has been using Medicaid and the state goes after reimbursement from their estate, that is spelled out that that's the responsibility of the Department of Health, and spells that out again on page 7 in a couple of places. On the repealer language, it's important to understand what that is down at the bottom of page 7. 3525.111 is repealed. That program no longer exists. That was a provision at one time that even parents who were distressed financially could get into the CHIPS program. It was never used. We don't use it now, so we're just doing away with the language. So, Mr. Chairman, that is the language cleanup in this bill.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Question. Question having been called, all those... Oh!
Oh!
Whoa!
Whoa, Bess.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a question here, and this is in regard to page 6.
And it's the new language in there when it talks about starting on line one, any Wyoming resident may apply for medical assistance under this chapter by filing an application by telephone. And I guess that kind of trips me up a little bit. I don't know. I've been in our DFS office several times when they did actually have these applications and whatnot there. And I believe there's, and I could be wrong on this, so if someone would, feel free to correct me if I am, but I thought they had to have maybe proof of identification or something, or some other kind of paperwork to go along with those, and I'm just kind of wondering how that works if an applicant can apply by telephone. Thanks.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, and to answer the good representative's question from up in the northeastern part of the state, this is just, I think you are correct that they do have to have some, they have to verify their identity, but this allows them to get the application. They can get the application and then confirm it later is the way, is what I was told from the Department of Health.
Any further discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 59 do pass, say aye. Opposed? House Bill 59 has passed Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
So are we done?
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 36, amended, recommended do pass. House Bill 46, amended, recommended do pass. Here we go. House Bill 59, amended, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Somers, Chairman.
Representative Somers.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole report's adopted. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 7, Landfill Remediation Priority List, Ayes 30, No 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Mr. Speaker, this is Message 104. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 21. Mineral Tax Archaic Provisions, Ayes 30, No 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 105, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 23, NRC Agreement, State Amendments, Ayes 30, No 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 106, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated, Senate File 30, Initiative Review Process, Ayes 27, Noes 3, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 107, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated, Senate File 33, Vehicle Registration-Shell Businesses, Ayes 23, Noes 7, sincerely Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 108, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 43, Workforce Investment Act Statutory Reference Amendments, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 109, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by a vote indicated. Senate File 44, Obsolete Statutory Language - Health Care, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 110, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 47, Juvenile Sex Offender - Risk Assessment, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 111, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 49, Direct Primary Care - Insurance Exemption, Ayes 30, Noes 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 112. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 56, Dietitian Reimbursement, Ayes 29, Noes 1. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 113. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 8, Bicycle and Pedestrian System Tax Task Force, Ayes 26, Noes 4. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 114. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 14, Student Data Privacy and Transparency, Ayes 13, Noes 17. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 115. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 20, Sales and Use Tax Remedy Revisions, Ayes 24, Noes 6. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 116. Mr. Speaker, bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 28, Carbon Capture, Storage, and Sequestration Permit. Ayes 30, Noes 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 117, Mr. Speaker. The bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 57, Freestanding Emergency Center. Ayes 30, Noes 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you help me in welcoming that beautiful lady and the three adorable kids in the back in the fishbowl? If you'd help me welcome them, that is my family. Our two boys, just 3 weeks ago, we had the privilege of adopting into our family, and we're so thankful for them. Thank you.
We're now in that order of business of special orders. Representative Pieperinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move special order of the House 16-1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Just recently, this was passed out into your mailboxes there on your desk. You may have a couple copies. But I'd like to read it first. Pursuant to Wyoming Statute 9-1-603, I move that the House of Representatives respectfully request Attorney General Peter Michael to provide a written opinion to the following question. Whether the contracts entered into by the State of Wyoming for the State Capitol Building and Hersler State Office Rehabilitation, Restoration, and Renovation Project described in Wyoming Statute 9-5-112 comply with the contract bidding and approval requirements of Article 3, Section 31 of the Wyoming Constitution. Brothers and sisters of the 63rd Legislature, spurred by an obligation to fulfill my oath of office to defend the Wyoming Constitution, I stand and raise a warning voice. I stand for what I see is a constitutional breach and seek an opinion from the Wyoming Attorney General to help clarify this matter. The special order of the House is strictly requesting an AG opinion. I believe that we've strayed from the written words of Wyoming's founders, which have clear and historic intent regarding the manner in which contracts are awarded and executed as it relates to the rehabilitation of our Capitol building. I raise my voice in caution to some of the processes that have transpired during this rehabilitation. Wyoming founders were endowed with good judgment. With their judicious foresight, they purposely put into our Constitution, quote, the repairing and furnishing the halls and rooms used for the meeting of the legislature and its committees shall be performed under contract to be given to the lowest responsible bidder below such maximum price and under such regulations as prescribed by law. No member or officer of any department of the government shall be in any way interested in such contracts. And all such contracts shall be subject to the approval of the governor and the treasurer. I have sent digital copies to you of the competitive bid law and the capital oversight statute. This rehabilitation is most assuredly, it encompasses the greatest plumbing, electrical, and architectural repairs the Capitol has ever seen or probably will ever experience. Yet its contract should have been constitutionally approached in the prescribed protocols of the founders, that is, through a competitive bid process given to the lowest responsible bidder. As legislators, those of us seated in this chamber, we have a fiduciary duty to the people of Wyoming, to the taxpayers of this state, to obtain the best possible work for the best possible price. The procurement process of which vendors and bidders are solicited and ultimately awarded such contracts should reflect the founders' directives to be below such maximum price and under such regulations as may be prescribed by law. It is my observation that some of the contracts that I've seen and heretofore have been awarded have not had maximum prices, nor were they arrived at through the competitive bidding process. Moreover, many of those initial contracts have ballooned and exponentially grown through a process of change orders, making its original contract price dwarf its current change order price to the state. That's not good for the taxpayer. That's not good for the state's bottom line. And that's not good business. A packet was placed on your desk this morning entitled Bid Waiver Information, which contained a stack of various bid waivers from the Capitol Square project that are over $100,000. You were also sent a digital copy of all the bid waivers that I have access to. A bid waiver is a document that documents the lack of competitive bidding. The founders prescribed competitive bidding. They also demanded that the executive branch, constitutionally referenced as the governor and the state treasurer, in Article 3, Section 31, sign off on such contracts. The founders foresaw that concentration of financial power in the hands of one executive would not serve the people. Hence, two members of the executive branch are cited. I have not seen the treasurer's name cited nor referenced on any contracts. To the contrary, the treasurer, an executive and constitutional officer, in my observation, has been left out of any contractual considerations regarding the Capitol renovation. Again, how far this process has strayed from original constitutional requirements. This is not right. All of us have taken an oath, even a sacred covenant, to protect and to defend the Constitution of the United States and the great of the Constitution of the great state of Wyoming. I appeal to this House of Representatives, to you, my fellow servants, elected representatives of the people and the defenders of Wyoming's Constitution, to examine what has transpired throughout this process of rehabilitation. Examine Wyoming's Constitution as it relates to this type of work, and examine the founders' words and their intent. We need constitutional clarity, hence this request. We must follow the law. We must follow our Constitution. The rule of law implies that every citizen is subject to the law, including lawmakers themselves. Lack of the rule of law comes about because of neglect or ignorance of the law. And the rule of law is more apt to decay if a government has insufficient mechanisms for restoring it. I believe a request for an opinion from our state's highest legal authority is one such mechanism. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a motion that's before the body. A second's not required. It's debatable and will be decided by a majority vote. Representative Greer.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the motion. I do. But I'm going to rise in opposition, and this is the reason why, is when the bringer of the motion was emailing me earlier today, I was looking at things and started looking through it. And the fact of the matter is, the AG just issued an opinion today, a formal opinion. And the subject matter of that opinion is this. The question has arisen as to the general role of the government, of the governor and the state treasurer under Article 3, Section 31 of the Wyoming Constitution, in the context of the current capital reconstruction project. Specifically, the question is, what type of contracts and goods for services fall within this section? An ancillary question involves the roles of the governor and the treasurer as the contracts that fall within the section. This is a formal opinion just issued. I just got my hands on it as I was emailing back and forth with the bringer of this motion to try to figure this out today. I haven't got all the way to the opinion, but the opinion from the AGs, and keep in mind, a formal opinion is basically one step below a Supreme Court opinion. The Supreme Court give these weights, significant weight in their determination. Also, they're rarely issued. So, I mean, you got their attention. You got their opinion. We don't need this motion now. I'd ask the body to go ahead and deny this motion, and we'll get this opinion circulated. And by the way, the AG has not found anybody in our leadership or on the committee to have done any wrongdoing by our governor or by the treasurer. And the little bit of this that I've read, you'll see, is very clear, the interpretation of this and the analysis. We'll get this out to everyone. Again, I appreciate the work, and I just got this, just found it. So there we are. I ask you to vote no, but thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I got a question that you probably can answer. I haven't seen this opinion, and I don't think that anybody has except the representative that was just talking. And I don't feel I can vote on something without knowing and seeing that opinion. So is there anything in the rules that would allow us to delay any action on this order until Monday?
Let me hold that question a moment, Chairman Madden. Representative Pipirinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That being the case, with that opinion already rendered here, I respectfully withdraw my special order of the House.
Very well. The motion's been withdrawn. Remaining business. Committee announcements. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The committee number three has drastically shortened their agenda for Monday. We're going to be talking about House Joint Resolution 3, the balanced budget amendment. All of the other things I had scheduled were recipients of too many no votes today, so we're just down to one thing.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet Monday, February 15th upon noon recess to consider the following bills: House Bill 81, Drug Court Surcharge; House Bill 86, Wyoming Repeal Gun-Free Zones Act; House Bill 69, Unlawful Dissemination of an Intimate Image; and House Bill 43, Concealed Weapons Military Applicant.
Nice weekend, Rosie. Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet upon noon recess on noon in H 37 to hear five bills: House Bill 20, 21, 95, 101, and 79.
Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number six, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, will meet Monday at 7:30 a.m. in Jonah Room H-38 to consider the following bills: House Bill 17, Shed Antlers and Horns, which is a continuation of today's discussion; House Bill 84, Catering Permits; and House Bill 94, Wine at Public Auditoriums and Events Centers.
Chairman Northrup. Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number four, Education, will meet Monday upon adjournment, 10 minutes after adjournment, to hear two bills: House Bill 105, the ABLE Act, and House Bill 118, Foster Care and Permanency Additional Requirements.
Representative Kasparik.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number nine, Minerals, will meet Monday, February 15th at 8 o'clock in Jonah Room H-37 to hear the following bills: House Bill 26, Wyoming Money Transmitter Act Investments; House Bill 114, Public Assistance Eligibility; and House Joint 5, Sovereign Authority Against Federal Action.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, could we make a couple of re-referrals?
Certainly, Representative Larson. They're always welcome.
Thank you. Your committee number 10, Labor, would like to re-refer House Bill number 57 and House Bill number 74 to your committee number two, Appropriations.
House Bill 57 and House Bill 74 are re-referred to committee number two, Appropriations.
And Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet on Monday, 10 minutes after adjournment, to hear three bills: House Bill 54, Treasury Offset Programs; House Bill 76, the Designated Caregiver; and House Bill 138, Child Health Insurance Program Amendments.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your House Committee number two will meet on Monday, February 15th, in room L-55 to hear House Bill 51, Local Government Distributions, and House Bill 123, State-Funded Capital Construction. And, yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Larson, I need to correct the record. Neither of those bills has been read in, so they'll have to be re-referred after they're read in on Monday. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I'd like to say thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for all your heavy lifting today and for the week. I really appreciate it. Give yourselves a clap. Okay, that's not very good. Anyway, and the next thing is the opinion by the Attorney General is being copied and will be on your desk momentarily if you'd like to wait for it. And the next thing is the general file for February 15th are the following bills: House Joint Resolution 2, House Joint Resolution 4, House Bills 35, 53, 87, 9, 60, 63, 41, 62, 14, 49, 82, 6, 40, 58, 71, 85, 47, 11, 31, 88, 113, 42, and they will be emailed to you shortly, also. And remember that the Committee of the Whole will have the special introduction of House Bill 1, which you should have that copy on your desk, too. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. February 15th, 2016.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're adjourned until 10 a.m. February 15th.